and welcome to another edition of the Ted Brewer Show. This is November the 9th, 2015, for the worldwide broadcast. We're having fun today. I'm still a little bit fatigued from my exciting weekend, having my party on Saturday with my wife. She actually sung a song for me. I need to read you the song. She actually wrote it and sang it, and she did it to the Beverly Hillbillies tune. How's that thing go, Austin? The Jed Clampett song.
Beverly Hillbillies.
Do you remember how it goes?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how it goes. I don't have it in front of me. Gotta put me on the spot on that one. I would have been prepared.
This is absolutely going awful right now with the introduction to this show. But it was basically da 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 da, and then she says, "Baby, it started off like went to Tallahassee and I met a man named Ted." You know, and so she sings this whole song in front of like all of these guests, like 30, 40 people at the house. And it was really good. Then Savannah sang a really nice song to me, and we had a blast. I mean, Christians can actually have fun. Of course, there was no alcohol served for my Baptist friends that are listening, and we don't do alcohol. And so it's just interesting how much fun you can have as a Christian without having to get drunk. And I learned that a long, long, long time ago. But here's something interesting. I want to start off with this story today. I just pulled this one up off of Breitbart, and it bothered me so much, I thought, you know what, I'm going to start this broadcast off with this, because this is one of those unbelievably hard-to-believe, stupid stories. This is from Breitbart today. Christian daycare workers are fired for refusing to call a little girl a boy. Houston, Texas. Two daycare workers have been fired for refusing to go along with the center's transgender agenda. Madeline Kirksey, one of the workers, who is the author of a Christian book, says her religious liberty rights have been violated. The two were fired after refusing to call a little girl a boy. The two homosexual parents of a six-year-old girl told employees at the school to refer to their daughter as a boy and to call her by her new masculine name. The little girl's hair had been also cut like a boy's. Kirksey told Breitbart, Texas, in an interview that the problem was not so much with the transgender issue as it was telling the other children that the little girl was a boy when she was not, and by calling her a male name. She and the other worker who does not want to be identified were fired immediately from Children's Lighthouse Learning Center in Katy, Texas, a city just west of Houston. The school distributed guidelines to the teachers called How to Handle Transgender Students. The guideline and the instructions given to the teachers included six rules, one of which was help defend their dignity. Another was to educate yourself and your students. And the Christian worker said she did not believe it was our job to thrust the issue on the small children of other parents. She said the school should not force their beliefs on the children or upon her or upon other parents. Years ago, my son Harrison was in third grade or fourth grade, I don't remember, and a little boy came in there one day who was in the classroom and decided to tell everybody he was gay. And he was making all these obscene marks and remarks to the other boys and all of this filthy, filthy stuff. And Harrison came home. He was only like 7, 8 years old and said something to me about it. I immediately called up the private Christian school he was attending and raised H.E. double sticks. And I said, look, you know, if you're going to be bringing kids in here that are openly gay like this and thinking this is okay, this isn't okay with me. I want the parents brought in. You can't be making lewd, lascivious, filthy remarks to my children and to other kids in the classroom and think it's okay. He had real long hair. The boy had his hair down the middle of his back, and I guess he was, I guess now you'd call him a transgender, but it was ridiculous. And so I've experienced this stuff personally, and I've seen it with my own kids, and it was a very difficult thing to try to explain to Harrison, who was like 8 or 9 years old. Then I have Alexis, who's 7 years old. Then I've got Savannah, who's 5 years old, and they all get in this conversation and try to explain it. So I understand exactly what these teachers were saying, and that they didn't feel it was their responsibility to try to indoctrinate these other children into the beliefs of these parents, these homosexual parents, this other little child, and why these other kids had to be in the middle of this mess with these little 5 and 6 year old children. What do you think about this, Oz?
Well, it just keeps getting almost more and more insane. I mean, we hear about this, you know, the high school out in Illinois now with them forcing basically the girls to shower with a boy now that he says he's a girl. What's so odd to me is, you know, we've had the homosexual agenda has been pretty aggressive the last couple of years. But, you know, from a basis of homosexuality, it's always your choice on what you want to do. You know, you're a guy, you're gay, you like other guys, you want to go do that. Okay, whatever. That's, you know, it's a sin, but that's your choice. Now, trying to force this in, letting parents come out and say, well, my 5-year-old daughter says she's a boy. Well, now you're just twisting the entire fabric of everything, because not only is she not even gay, now you're saying she's a completely different gender than what she is. And like the worker said, how do we explain this? Daycare, 5-year-old, 4- and 5-year-olds, 3-year-olds. How do you explain this to a 5-year-old? Well, that's not a girl, that's a boy. Well, why is she a boy? You know, she doesn't have boy parts. Why is... I don't know how you explain this anymore, and it's not even with an adult. It's getting so prevalent in the younger community that it's almost cool now to be transgender. That's like the popular thing now. I'm not a boy, I'm a girl. I don't know when everybody thought that was okay. I mean, if you're born with male anatomy, you're a boy. You may have chemical issues in the brain from too much soy that makes you more feminized, but I hate to tell you, you're still a boy, unless you want to go through and have the surgery and get that committed with it, and not too many people do that. So, I mean, it's getting pretty bizarre.
Well, what's funny is you're still not a girl if you have your penis cut off. Now you're just a guy who had his penis cut off.
And yeah.
Because if you do a chromosome test. The problem I have with all of this, number one, is where are the rights of the children that aren't homosexual, that aren't transgender, that aren't lesbians? Where are the rights of the straight kids? Where are the rights of the straight kids to not want to have their gender identity confused at such a young age? Where are the rights of these kids now when their parents have to try to explain this nonsense to them, and these kids are coming in and saying, Mom and Dad, little Susie decided she wanted to be Johnny. I think I want to be a little boy too, or I want to be a little girl too. Can I do that now too? And see, because little kids like to mimic other kids. Little kids like to play games like that. And so now you got a whole bunch of kids in there that are all confused, and they all want to be transgender because that's the cool thing. Because that blithering, idiot, weirdo Bruce Jenner, this nauseatingly ugly, whatever it is, male, decided it wanted to go transsexual. You know, he's 60-something years old, and he decided he's going to go ahead now and become a transgender and completely bring this culture to the whole population of the country. It all started with Ellen DeGeneres back in the 90s when she came out and was openly gay. And then, of course, you know, Rosie O'Donnell came out, surprise, surprise, that she was gay. And then all these other people started coming out and saying they were gay. Then Anderson Cooper says he's gay. And so that wasn't enough for the liberal left-wing media that's basically communists. They want to go in now and they wanted to completely destroy any gender bias whatsoever, and everybody becomes an it. And it's sad, because it's sad to me, because it's all about, again, the Sabbatean Frankist Kabbalist conspiracy with the Rothschild banking cartel to take what God turned right upside down and destroy the culture. And that's what this is. This is so stupid that it's almost beyond belief to me that that Breitbart, you know, is recording and picking up stories like this. And it's not because he shouldn't have done it. It's the fact that it just blows my mind that this is actually happening and that we're reading about it. And if we don't say it's okay, we're a racist or we're a homophobe, or now I guess we'd be a transgender homophobe or transgender phobe. I don't know what the real name is, Austin, but you know what? I don't give a rat's butt anymore. I don't like it. I think it sucks. I think it's ridiculous that these people are doing this and forcing this on our children. So that's how I feel about it. And if that makes me a whatever you want to call me, take a hike. Just pound salt somewhere else. I don't care what you think if you think that makes me weird. You don't have. I've got 4 kids, and 4 kids I've had to deal with this crap at All Saints over there, All Saints School in Auburn, in Winter Haven, and I had to deal with this mess, you know, what is it, about 6 or 7 years ago now. And I tell you what, I don't want to deal with it then. I don't want to deal with it now. And the whole thing nauseates me. If they want to be gay, if they want to be transgender, let them start their own stupid schools. They can have a bunch of gays and a bunch of lesbians and a bunch of transgender people all running around together in their own school, and they can do whatever they want to do for political correctness. But leave me and the rest of the population out of the loop. Now, here's another story. Got to change the subject because I'm starting to get kind of mean. Germantown migrants riot in churches, are stealing from stores, are publicly defecating in gardens. And the residents who criticize the behavior of these radical Islamist jihadist Muslims are being called Nazis. Residents in the German town of Ellenwagen are reporting that thousands of migrants who recently arrived are defecating on people's gardens, staging riots in church, stealing from local stores, while the police in the area struggle to cope with the disorder. With the disorder. No, it's not a disorder. With the thieving is what you should say. Ellenwagen, which is a population of 23,000 and a strong Catholic community, was recently inundated with 4,500 asylum seekers, so about 20% of the population now is Muslim, or who are staying in old army barracks on the edge of town. The original plan was to house 500 immigrants, but this quickly morphed to 10 times that figure. Serious mass brawls and conflicts began prompting the police to be called out routinely. The state government is set to fork out 5.1 million euros of taxpayer money to renovate and expand their housing situation. I read about the serious theft problems in stores where refugees walk in, take what they want or need, and walk out again without paying, writes the individual in the small town. In the beginning, grocery stores called the police, but stopped doing so after they were told to write up the losses and contact someone in the local municipality, and they would be reimbursed. Women are also afraid to walk in town alone, with reports of women being raped and 10-year-old girl being sexually harassed. The livelihoods are destroyed by the decision of the government to take in people that are violently opposed to German and Christian culture. Most of the people living in that town and neighboring villages are honest, hardworking people trying to do good and be good, and now they're having to watch as their town is destroyed. The report also states that residents have been forced to put up signs asking migrants not to defecate on the streets, the gardens, the sidewalks, and on the sides of their houses, a common practice because they don't like using toilets. According to the individual, anyone who criticizes the behavior of the migrants is immediately labeled a Nazi. Locals are also enraged that a dead cat was placed on the doorstep of the mayor. While Austrians are busy purchasing as many shotguns as they can buy, the individual always also adds that many Germans are now buying pepper spray as a mean of self-defense. Similar stories are now emerging from all over Germany as small villages and towns are being destroyed by the migrant influx. And then it goes on and to how rapes, theft, the killing of pets, and drugs. Remember, this is just insanity. This is just—this is the end of Germany, is what it is.
You know, it speaks a lot for your culture and your background when you come into a town and the locals in the town have to start putting signs up to ask you, please do not defecate on our flowers or on the street. I mean, it really does. I mean, it says a lot about you. It says a lot about your culture. I mean, I don't remember the last time I had to put a sign up in my yard to tell people in Auburn, please don't defecate on my sidewalk or my driveway.
Sometimes they have the dogs. They curb dogs, but most people pick up their dog poop now.
People didn't pick that up.
Well, that's right. But these people, the Muslims, they see all these animals, unclean animals, and they just want to kill them because they're still following the kosher dietary laws. And I always remember the Muslim religion was started by the Catholic religion. Oh gosh, I believe in the 8th or 9th century. I can't remember anymore with Muhammad. And so it was basically something to give to the Arabs. People don't even realize that. When you guys can do your history lesson, you'll find out about that. And then that's why they still carry the prayer beads, because apparently Muhammad actually married a nun, which I find interesting. But the whole thing about all of this is just, again, it's like cultures. I mean, the cultures are so different. You know, we go down to the islands on a cruise. The culture is different. You know, we don't go down to the island and try to change their culture. We don't do that. We just go down there and enjoy the culture the way it is and come back and thank God that we don't live on the island, right? And so it's just interesting. These guys come to these other countries. But, of course, I mentioned this last night on the Hagman show and on our show last night. You know, the United States has now bombed the infrastructure, the generating power stations, and the water purification stations in Syria. So these people are basically having to drink water from the fecal-contaminated Euphrates River, and now they don't know what to do because they have no electricity and no water. And now Angela Merkel says, come here and we'll give you free housing and money to live on every month and free food. And she's basically going to bankrupt Germany doing this because they have no skill sets. I talked to Jürgen, my friend from Germany, on Saturday night. He said that the Muslims that are coming there are just super poor, super ignorant, uneducated, illiterate, and just they're not bringing in the doctors and the attorneys and the lawyers and the people. They're bringing in these super 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 third world poor country people to Germany, So they have no skill set. So they're not going to go get a job at Mercedes or BMW or Volkswagen or Porsche. They're not going to do that. They're going to sit around and draw in, you know, life, free income for the rest of their life from the German people. Angela Merkel needs to be taken outside and basically tried for treason and found guilty, if the German Constitution allows it. She needs to be hung by the neck until dead for doing this. This is how serious of what she has done is. And the same thing with Congress. If there are people, if there are a bunch of people up in Washington, need to be tried for treason too for what they've done and completely destroyed the borders of the United States. Remember, George Soros is the one who's behind all of this mess, again, destroying the borders of Germany. And he's blatantly said he wants no borders because he wants to be able to have a globalist, one world government in which his Sabbatane, Frankist, Luciferian, Satan-worshipping buddies can run the whole planet. And I think Russia and China about had enough of it, Austin. What's your first story, bud?
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of corruption and treason, you know, another article that, you know, we pretty much know a lot about this. We discussed it before, but it's great to start seeing this on more and more mainstream stuff. And a shocking admission for most of mainstream America, the former U.S. Comptroller General basically states that the real U.S. debt is closer to around $65 trillion than the off-sided figure of $18 trillion. And a lot of people still think it's even higher than the $65 trillion. But what's crazy is when you start adding up the nation's unfunded liabilities, the national debt, it's way, way higher than they're stating. And a lot of people, you know, you just hear that as a number. Okay, $18 trillion, $65 trillion. Remember that for every trillion, there's 12 zeros behind it. 12 zeros. So this isn't, you know, a little number like, oh, it's gone up $1 million. Every time it goes from $18 trillion to $19 trillion to $20 trillion, it's massively compounding on itself. And it's growing almost exponentially at that point, to the point now where they're saying we're at $65 trillion. I know you got an article, too, Dad, on the Social Security protocol or policies right now as far as them being completely unfunded as well.
Well, that's right. And the craziest thing about this is we know the actual the Social Security trust fund that they've raided is over $100 trillion now. So this guy who's coming up with this $60 trillion, again, he's going by more government lies. The truth is it's over $100 trillion, and that doesn't even include the derivatives that we've been signed on to as a nation that they've done globally of 2.5 quadrillion. That's 2,500 trillions. Let me repeat that number, 2,500 trillions. And so this $60 trillion isn't that. It's times 10 would be $600 trillion, times 20 would be 1.2 quadrillion. So times it's almost like 40 times what they're telling us that it is the actual number, 40 times higher. So it's some insane number that the people in the population of this country can simply never pay back. It can't be paid back. The only way we can do it is exactly what the Third Reich did when they nationalized all of the assets of the Federal Reserve Bank, the Rothschild Bank in Germany, and basically took their stuff away from them because they had stolen all the stuff with printing money out of nothing, which is what they've done here. Congress proposes a chilling resolution on Social Security. Half of the baby boomers have no retirement savings. It goes on to say, officially, the U.S. government is now $18 trillion in debt. We know that's actually closer to 20 on the actual numbers. Social Security's various trust funds currently hold about $2.7 trillion, which is way, way low. And Social Security's second biggest trust fund, disability insurance, is already broken in a couple of weeks. Social Security as a whole, as well as Medicare, cannot sustain projected long-run programs. And the government should be giving the public adequate time to prepare. The U.S. Government Accountability Office recently released reports showing that tens of millions of Americans have not saved a penny for retirement, and half the baby boomers have zero retirement savings. That means there's an overwhelming number of Americans pinning all of their retirement hopes and future security on Social Security. Bad idea. In a recently proposed resolution, H. Resolution 488, Congress states point blank that Social Security was never intended by Congress to be the sole source of retirement income for families. And that they're saying that if you're in your 50s, in your late 50s, you might be okay. But if you're in your 40s or 20s or 30s, you're hosed, baby. You're not getting Social Security. And so it's kind of crazy that they actually are saying stuff like this, but that's what they're saying. It's just kind of nuts. Here's another story. It says the Financial Stability Board, FBS, created by the G20 countries, just announced that the banks it regulates will be required to contribute another 1.1 trillion euros to its bank rescue funds. The Financial Stability Board is seeking to ensure that it has ample funds to bail out the world's largest banks in the event of a banking crisis like the one we saw in 2008, which is silly. The Deutsche Bank has like $40 trillion in unfunded liabilities and derivative debt. So I don't know how $1 trillion is going to make a difference. For struggling European banks now suffering losses, laying off thousands of employees and closing offices around the world, the additional capital demands come as yet another blow. Meanwhile, there's still more bad news for the European Union today. The massive human tidal wave of refugees now engulfing Germany and driving the cost of its social programs through the roof has many in Chancellor Angela Merkel's own party in full revolt, demanding the borders be closed immediately. President and Prime Minister David Cameron was heckled on stage today as anti-EU students campaigned for the UK's exit from the Union. European Central Bank President Mario Draghi is pressured being pressured by many to step up more money printing and bond buying schemes as the emerging market crisis cuts deep into the European economy, threatening to push the continent into a devastating deflationary depression. So what's going on here is they simply don't want to hyperinflate the currency just yet. That's why we're having a deflationary depression, and when they can't make it get fixed like that, they're gonna have to hyperinflate. When that happens, gold and silver are gonna go through the roof. What's your story? Next story, boss.
Well, then the next step, what they're going to try and do is after they do that, they're going to try and start banning cash. That'll be the next agenda that rolls into, you know, probably 2020. There's even an article on that that was talking about how Sweden and Denmark, they're the two nations that are closest to banning cash outright. The most important testing ground for cashless economics is half a world away, which is in Africa, which is interesting. Most of the people don't even have bank accounts. And they're trying to ban cash and transfer everything over to cell phones and make people over there pay everything with their cell phones. But, I mean, this is where it's going. We know why the collapse is imminent and what's going to happen after that. They have to make everything a digital currency. That way they can track everything and watch everything and monitor everything and manipulate it even easier. Another article, the million cancer deaths expected now from Fukushima in Japan. A shocking new report defies the chronically underestimated impacts of the Fukushima triple meltdown on cancer risk in exposed populations, and that does not just include Japan, but arguably the entire world. Data provided by a group of esteemed Japanese medical professionals and TEPCO confirm a direct link of numerous cancers in Japan to the triple meltdown, and it basically goes on to say that they're now seeing in Japan that the incidence of thyroid cancer is approximately 230 times higher than normal now in any of the areas that has been exposed to it. So this is a serious issue that's starting to happen. We knew this a couple of years ago when it happened, but the problem is with radiation, it's a very, very slow death, and a lot of times it doesn't even kill you from that. All the other stuff with cancer and organ failure and everything else that comes along with it. So, I mean, it's kind of sad that this happened, but I mean,
well, you know, when Fukushima happened and the power plants failed, and then they couldn't get the backup generators online to cool them, it was all done on purpose, and they had multiple explosions where bombs apparently went off, is what I read. Now, whether that's been substantiated or not, I don't know. And that pretty much finished it, and they lost containment, and basically they had themselves another Chernobyl right there by the ocean, so it can all pump into the seawater and basically send off a bunch of steam. The nuttiest thing about all of this is that, you know, it's taken now, what, 3 or 4 years for the radiation to actually start to circulate because, you know, it's pumping out so much into the water every day. Now it's hitting the entire western seaboard of Canada, the United States, Central America, Mexico. The whole northern hemisphere is being completely bombarded with radiation to the point now that the United States government has turned off the radiation monitoring stations throughout the U.S., because they don't want to have these things screaming sirens in the middle of the night that there's radiation. And the nuttiest thing about all of that is they don't care. I mean, they could go in there right now in Fukushima. They could run a bunch of 12-inch hoses in there, and they could basically start pumping concrete on top of that reactor and do the same thing they did with Chernobyl. But they're refusing to do it. And the reason they're refusing to do it is because they want this to happen. They want this to be a depopulation event of Europe, of the United States, of Canada, of Central America, and that's what they want. And whenever they want to close it up and stop all of this stuff, they just, like I said, start pumping concrete. You know, you pump a couple 100,000 yards of concrete on top of that crap over there, you're going to stop this. But they don't want to do that, Austin. You know, they did it with Chernobyl. They were able to stop it with the concrete. They put it into a giant concrete tomb. Now, you may still have some spillover from the radiation into the water. I don't know how they're going to stop that, but they could stop, they could pump massive amounts of concrete offshore where those fissures are being opened up and putting that seawater going in. They could do that too. I mean, they haven't made any effort at all to stop this. And now we have this massive radiation exposure on the West Coast that's not getting any better. It's getting much, much worse with massive, massive aquatic die-off and just huge amounts of species just, you know, basically just being destroyed, like the starfish, which are very, very sensitive to radiation. And it's sad because, again, it's the Sabatine Francis want to turn everything upside down. You got to remember, these banker boys who run the world, this is the synagogue of Satan. These are the ones that the book of Revelation talks about. They claim to be Jews, but they are not. They're Luciferians. They're worshiping Satan. And what they do is they basically are taking over the entire planet now with their money magic, their Babylonian money magic. And the sad part about all of this is the other Jews who aren't involved in any of this get dragged into that ditch with them. Then everybody goes into this big anti-Semitic raid because, you know, the Jews did this, the Jews did this, the Jews did this. Well, the problem is the vast majority of the people doing all this are the Jews that are the Sabbateans. That's the problem that you have. They're the Zionists. Okay, but there are also other people that are Zionists who are not Jewish at all, who are basically like George Bush and his dad, who are basically just career criminal thugs from a career criminal family of thugs. And so you can't just say it's the Jewish folks that are doing it, though the Jews are the front people again for this, because remember, Hollywood is primarily Jewish, the Sabbateans again, and they promoted this filthy, filthy, filthy culture in the United States, like with Miley Cyrus and all the filthy stuff that she does. So while we're watching Miley Cyrus sit on a giant inflated penis on stage, radiation is pouring into the United States. Okay, but we're being distracted. It's being obfuscated because the people are being so dumbed down, they think everything's okay. It's not okay. We've got a major, major, major crisis that's happening as far as a worldwide population event, depopulation event with Fukushima, at least in the Northern Hemisphere. That's why so many of the folks who do Patriot Radio, they've talked so many times about going to New Zealand or going to Australia because of the way the ocean currents go and the air currents go, it's very difficult for the Earth's currents to mingle from the north to the south hemispheres because everything goes backwards down there. In fact, when you people don't know this, but you weren't with us when we did this, Austin, but when you go north of the equator, when you flush a toilet, it goes clockwise down the toilet. When you go south of the equator, you flush a toilet, it goes counterclockwise. It changes direction as far as how water goes. So none of that stuff likes to mix. That's why it's very difficult for that northern pollution to mix with the southern pollution. But for all of us up in the northern hemisphere with Fukushima, this is a life-changing event because it's going to be hitting California pretty doggone hard. And the main thing keeping it out of California right now is that high pressure zone they parked off the coast of California with that HAARP device they have, or some kind of satellite HAARP, because they're so much, I'm sure they're a lot fat. They're much further along now. They're using radio towers and beaming stuff up into the ionosphere. I'm sure they're being able to do a lot of this with satellites, with microwaves. And I'll be talking a lot about this on the Hagman Show on the 20th, when we go into detail about Morgellons disease and how this is going to be used as a major, major depopulation event. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty well. Now, the iodine, the potassium iodine, is a good supplement to take to help prevent some of that.
If you're not taking potassium iodine, 13.5 milligrams a day, you need to take 13.5 milligrams a day. I'm not going to fuss at you because a lot of you don't know you need to do that. And don't go buy some Bobo brand at Walmart, okay? Don't do that. Call us up at healthmasters.com or, you know, at 1-800-726-1834. What's it, $20-$25 bucks for a bottle of this stuff, Austin?
No, it's like $15 right now on sale. I think normally, yeah, it's like $19.95.
It's like $15 bucks on sale. Are you kidding me? $15, you take one of these a day. It'll really help your thyroid. It'll really protect your thyroid. That's why we got thousands of, actually, what do they say, a million people are going to die in Japan from this, from thyroid
That's
cancer?
That's what they're projecting now. Yeah, it's already, I mean, they're already seeing, I think, close to 100,000 cancer-related issues. Directly from the radiation, they're projecting at least a million.
And also, it's not stopping; it's still spewing as bad as it was the day it blew.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, the crazy part is too is that there's not, you know, even if they did, like you said, they start pumping all the concrete in, they finally bury this thing like they did in Chernobyl. It's not just going to stop. The radiation isn't just going to all of a sudden evaporate and disappear, and you know, it's gone the next day. I mean, all this stuff is going to be in the water. It's going to be in the fish, it's going to be in the soil, it's going to be in the air.
Well, no, the only way they can do it, they've got the radiation has already been released. It's not going to go away. It's going to have to be dissipated. And so, yeah, you're right. So everybody listening needs to be taking iodine every single day, potassium iodide every single day. It's super important. I take it every day. And it keeps your thyroid really, really healthy too. And again, don't use chlorine or fluoride or bromine in your bread, because your body thinks that's iodine and absorbs it into the thyroid. And you want your thyroid full of potassium iodide, especially since you don't want to be absorbing radioactive nucleides.
Yeah, and I mean, you told me before, we hear a lot of times people call in, they have issues with Hashimoto's disease and other issues with the thyroid. What would the iodine help out with that? Is that beneficial as well?
Well, the iodine can help everything as far as thyroid function, because the thyroid needs a lot of iodine. The biggest problem that people have, though, is they go in, their iodine is off, or the nutrient intake is off of what they need to stabilize their thyroid, and they go in there and they have it nuked, basically. They have a radiation hit to the thyroid, and they kill it, or they cut it out. And it's just stupid. The whole thing's just stupid. I mean, just take the supplements that you need to keep your body healthy. Try that first. You may have to do some type of, invasive procedure like that, but I always tell people, it's like with kids with ADD and ADHD. You don't start them on Ritalin. You start them on a diet change. You start them on getting them off the red dyes and the blue dyes and giving them essential oils like cod liver oil. We've got a whole protocol for kids that have ADD and ADHD. We had like a 90% success rate working with kids in my office back in the 80s who had ADD, who we were able to completely get off of the Ritalin and the Adderall. These are Schedule II amphetamine salts. They're in the same category with morphine, opium, Percodan, Demerol, all of that. This is a strong, strong drug. Especially the Adderall, that's like a blend of different amphetamine salts. I mean, it's all like sustained release nonsense. And I mean, it's like speed. It's like cocaine. In fact, Dr. Gene Haslip, the head of the diversion control for the FDA from years ago, he said people don't realize that Ritalin is like cocaine. He says that doesn't mean you don't want to use it, but you got to be very, very careful with it. You got to be treating it with respect, because it's very highly addictive and it's a very regulated substance. And so it's just one of those things. You don't start off cutting your thyroid out because your thyroid's not working right. Let's try some supplements first. Let's try to build it back up again. Let's try to do everything we possibly can. How many times do we have people call us up, Austin? They've got a problem with colitis or whatever with their intestinal tract, and rather than going on bentonite or changing their diet or cleaning up their act and what they're doing, the doctor goes in and cuts their stinking colon out. And they call us up and they say, hey, what can we do now? Our colon's been removed. And I'm like, well, why don't you stay with what your doctor told you to do? You're kind of out of our league now. Now you got to kind of, you stepped into this medical model, or you have somebody who calls you up and they've gotten like, a year of chemotherapy, a year of radiation. They come in, they weigh like 100 pounds. They've been given 2 weeks to live, and now they say, now I want to change my diet. My response to them is get right with Jesus, go back to the doctor who did this to you. Because there's nothing you're going to do barring a straight miracle from God changing your diet. I mean, people don't understand. Prevention isn't something you do when you're on death's door. You change your diet when you're younger. I mean, I told my friends years ago from high school, I said, you know what? You guys go ahead and go out and get drunk all the time. I'm not going to do that. You go ahead and take your drugs. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to work out all the time. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to eat clean. I'm going to take vitamins. And I said, and by the time I'm 40, 50, 60 years old, I'm going to look 20, 30 years younger than you guys. And I do. And because you see my high school friends, Austin, you know how bad they look.
Oh, yeah.
They look old, And everybody says, well, you don't really age. And I said, well, I tried that once. I didn't like aging. It's kind of awful. So I take my supplements and I eat right all of the time. And I exercise every day, 6 days a week. And I've learned over the years, if you just do that, just basically try to do the best you can, what ends up happening is everything works out pretty good. But you can't be going in and saying, oh my God, I'm 300 pounds overweight, I need to lose weight. No, when you're 10 or 15 pounds overweight, you say, hey, I'm 10 or 15 pounds overweight, I need to lose weight. You see these high school beauty girls and they gain 1 pound a month after high school. You think, well, 1 pound a month isn't that big of a deal, and it's not. The first 2 or 3 years is not really that big of a deal. But now after the third year, you're about 36 pounds overweight. That's still manageable. But after the 10th year, you're 120 pounds overweight. By the time you're out of high school, 20 years, you're 240 pounds overweight. Now you're 350 pounds. And now you're looking like a blimp. Okay? And now the following year, you're 400 pounds. You go, well, I'm only gaining a pound a month. Well, it doesn't work that way. Now it's going to take just as long that you gain all that stuff to get it all back off and keep it off the right way. 1 or 2 pounds, 3, 4 pounds a month is all you're going to be able to come off. And the sad part about it, Austin, so many people wait until they're on 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 prescription drugs and massively overweight, and they feel absolutely awful before they start changing their lifestyle. And so that's what I'm going to ask everybody today. If you feel absolutely awful and you're 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds, 100 pounds or more overweight, you have no energy, you're taking all these prescription drugs, let me ask you a simple question. How bad does it have to get before you decide to live a healthy lifestyle? I mean, it's not that difficult to eat right. You just have to be careful about the foods you put into your body. And once you get used to it, make a habit out of it, it becomes pretty normal, Austin.
It really is. It becomes, I mean, just normal daily occurrence. You don't buy this at the store, you buy this instead. And once you start swapping this stuff out and you start looking at labels and staying away from the hydrogenated oils and the GMOs and the sucralose, you start figuring it out on your own. You know, at the beginning, it seems overwhelming to some people because they're like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do this. You know, I can't do this, I can't do that, I have to do this. Listen, take it one step at a time, start making incremental changes, and slowly start to take things out of your diet and add in proper nutrition into your diet with supplements and with proper food intake. And you do that for a couple months, I promise you, if you continue consistently to do that for 6 months, it'll become habit. It'll be normal, you'll be used to it, and you'll actually enjoy doing it. And it's funny because the new research from Harvard School of Public Health just came out again, which, surprise, surprise, men who engaged in weight training for only 20 minutes a day had less age-related abdominal fat than men who just engaged in aerobic activity. So simply cardio by itself wasn't actually pulling off as much body fat as just 20 minutes of aerobic or weight training. And it's funny that I saw this article because on Sunday, my workout partner, we had a back day. And we did a little bit of different training protocol. We tried different stuff up. And what we did was everything with back was 1 second pause at the top of the contraction and a 3 second negative. Now, what that means is, so you're doing, say, bench press, even though we were doing back, when you let the bar down, you take 3 seconds for the bar to come down to your chest. You don't just drop it and let it slam. You take 3 seconds on the negative, pause at the bottom, and then explode through the top. And that's what we did with a lot of the back. You know, with rows, we would explode with the pull, hold it for a second, and then slowly let the weight back out over a 3 second period. And it said in here in this article that that is the most effective way to weight train to burn body fat. It says that actually for up to 72 hours, you are still burning body fat even after you finish working out. And essentially, it's the most effective way to increase natural growth hormone. It's also the most important way to keep lean muscle mass and stay in shape. And they were doing it in this test studies for 20 minutes a day. Well, I mean, these sitcoms, all these people watch on TV, this filth that Hollywood puts out, regular sitcoms, 30 minutes. And you'll sit there and watch 4, 5, 6 of those back to back to back, drinking beer and not think anything of it. Or 20 minutes in the gym every day. 20 minutes in the gym. That's all it takes.
Well, and that's
it's not difficult.
No, and that's what I always tell you. I work out 20 or 30 minutes, 6 days a week. That's all I do. And I've been able to maintain a lot of lean muscle mass, and I'm 60 years old because that's what I do. Now, what I want you to do, since you've explained that so well, I want to do a little video of that because it won't take but 25 seconds to show that video of you doing that and doing a rep like that. And we'll go ahead and post that online. And basically,
I took one of JJ on Sunday. He just posted it on Instagram.
Oh, well, get a copy of it and post it on our website.
Yeah, I actually show him, but yeah, it's because he did it perfect form. We were at the end of the workout, and he wanted us to throw it on Instagram, so we went ahead and I videotaped it. But yeah, it's really, really important. I was even showing Mom the other day. Remember, we were in the gym, and she was doing rear cable pullbacks, and she was just running through them real fast. And I said, listen, slow it down. Everybody's always concerned about, like, let's sling the weight, let's get it up and down, let's do 5, 10, 12 reps and drop it. No, man, it's time under tension. You want to keep the muscle under tension as long as possible. So when you're doing, you know, 15 to 20 reps in one set with a 3 second negative, you know, and a 4 second pause, you know, just for a 15 reps, you're spending an entire minute that muscle is under tension. That's why it's so effective in burning body fat.
Well, I know when I used to train like that, and I still train pretty much like that, but when I used to train like that real hard back in college, you never had to do cardio and you keep your body fat 5 or 6 or 7%. Because you basically you're burning so much fat all the time doing that. Let me read you another story real quick because we're almost out of time again. This thing sure goes by fast. Climate scientists to urge government to blast the Earth's atmosphere with microwave radiation. They're at an upcoming geoengineering conference. They're saying that there's so much methane gas that's being released by the global warming, which is basically the chemtrails, that this is all coming out of the Arctic ice cap. and that these huge amounts of methane gas are just starting to envelop the Earth. And it says disseminating methane gas is a top priority for climate change scientists because the gas has been shown to be 20 times more destructive per molecule over a 100-year period than carbon dioxide. In its first few years entering the atmosphere, methane is also 100 times stronger than carbon dioxide at blocking infrared radiation from escaping back into outer space. In February 2013, the Department of Energy Office of Science detected methane levels in the atmosphere at 1874 parts per billion. Historically, methane is about 600, so the methane's gone up 300%. And this is because of these blithering, sabotaging cabalists that are running everything that have decided they're going to just completely manipulate the weather with their stupid chemtrails and all the global stuff they're doing, and it's causing all this methane to release. The Arctic Methane Emergency Meeting Group attributes a sudden increase of methane to the greenhouse gases that are warming the Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean currents. These currents are flowing into the Arctic Ocean, pushing warming waters into the shallow seas along the continental shelf. As the warmer waters flow into the deep seabed, methane hydrates begin to destabilize, releasing gas that has been trapped in the permafrost cast for hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years. As the methane gas accumulates in the biosphere, climatologists are urging for grand-scale deployment of radio frequency transmitters so that gases can be nuked out of the atmosphere with opposing frequencies. The technologies intended to decompose the methane in the atmosphere using intersecting parabolic radio transmitters that use slightly different radio frequency. It says the atmospheric methane acts like a layer of glass, and thermal energy comes at it but cannot effectively escape. So what they're saying basically is they're killing us all with their stupid global warming and their manipulation of the weather with their stupid chemtrails and all the stuff they're spraying in the atmosphere. And the methane gas is releasing, causing the temperature to heat up faster and faster and faster and make it so that heat won't escape the planet. And now they want to try additional geoengineering and additional radio waves in the atmosphere to try and get rid of the methane gas that they've released. Sounds like another stupid plan, Austin, that's going to cause a lot more problems than it's going to solve. They just need to stop spraying the planet with these stupid chemtrails and let the planet go back to being natural and free and getting it out of this straitjacket. I know Dane Whittington, I interviewed him, and we've got it posted on our website. He's one of the top researchers in the world as far as geoclimate engineering. And I'll have to have him back on the show again. And he says this methane gas is the single biggest thing that nobody wants to talk about because this is literally a extinction-level event that's occurring before our eyes for the whole planet.
That's crazy. Well, I mean, even something else that a lot of people, you know, have been hearing about more and more are solar flares. They even came out with an article now saying the White House is preparing for catastrophic solar flares that could wipe power out around the world for months. They said that a massive electromagnetic pulse caused by solar flares could bring an end to modern civilization as we know it. And what's crazy is, you know, to date, so far that we know of, we're pretty much the most advanced civilization that's ever been on this planet, barring, you know, anything down there that happened with, what's the name of it down there?
Atlantis.
Atlantis, that's what it is. Thank you. Yeah, but basically it could cause a serious issue if it happens.
You know what's interesting? The Hopi Indians say, and a lot of other cultures say, and even the Bible, and the Christians talk about a pre-Adamic race, and people have said now that the Earth has been habitated like five different life cycles of different types of humans that have lived here. And, you know, and then God basically, it was basically formless and void. There was nothing here, and he came back in, part of the waters of the deep. So apparently we've had a lot of catastrophes here already. In fact, there's a Trinidite glass over there in the Middle East that can only be formed through the use of a atomic bomb. And they find this green glass, and it's called Trinitite, and they find it all over the Middle East as if there's been a massive, massive nuclear explosion, and the whole planet was already zapped once before. So we don't know how many generations of people have come and gone. The Bible doesn't tell us about that, but the reality is this. If we don't stop what we're doing right now, we may be another one of the ones that gets chalked up to the end of it. But I'll be honest with you, this time, you know, this is the war in the heavenlies. We talked about this last night on Dave Hodges' show. The war in the heavenlies have been going on for eons of time, and we're basically just pawns in the game. And if you want to read a really good book, go to it's free online. You get a PDF of it online. It's no longer in print, but you can get it for free. It's called Pawns, P-A-W-N-S, Pawns in the Game by William Carr. He was a top military guy back in World War II. He wrote this book in the 50s, and he goes into the Sabbatane Synagogue of Satan conspiracy that's trying to destroy the world and who these people really are. And everybody needs to read that book. And so the whole thing about this is that, you know, if we don't do something as a Christian nation as the United States used to be, now with this transgender stuff, I mean, I don't think I can't say the United States is a Christian nation anymore. I can't say that anymore. Austin, the laws in this country have become so convoluted and so obtuse now that we really don't have a Christian nation anymore. But if we want to restore our Constitution and at least have our liberty and our freedoms that are God-given rights back instead of being taken away by all these statutes and laws, we have to restore the Constitution of the United States. I know right now, you know, we've got these two big Republican candidates. We got Carson and Trump, and Carson's leading some polls, Trump's and others. Carson's for the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade agreements. I mean, this guy is not who you think he is. Carson's big pro-vaccination guy. I mean, the only person that we can hang our hat on this time is Donald Trump. And quite frankly, I think that they may want to put Hillary in and put her in power after Barack Obama to finish the complete destruction of the United States. And quite frankly, I really believe that if we have Hillary as a president, we're probably going to have a nuclear war. I think it's going to be that bad because I think that lady's that big of a Satanist. I think she's so evil that she has like the spirit of Jezebel residing in her. And the truth of the matter is, if she becomes president of the United States, God help us all. That's all I can say. I mean, Donald Trump, don't get me wrong, he's not a choir boy, but you know, I don't know. But the problem is, he also contributed to the Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation. So this whole thing is just convoluted. So you don't know who in the world's a ringer, who's not a ringer, what they're doing, why they're acting like this, and what the real truth is because of the obfuscation. That's why we have to keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus all of our lives and realize it doesn't matter what happens in the long run of this life. I mean, I'm 60 years old. I may live for another 30 or 40 years and be productive, but the reality is I'm not going to live forever in this body. I'm a spiritual being experiencing a physical existence in a skin suit is all I am right now. And this hologram that we're in, the only thing that's actually real here is our souls. And so that's the thing that we get to take to heaven with us are our souls. And that's the thing that God wants to protect us, our souls. And that's why the Bible says in the latter days they will traffic in men's souls. And they do that through fracturing of the psyches and the personalities, through all the sex magic they do and all the horrible thing they do to young children. So just protect your kids, protect yourself, eat right, stay healthy, do the best you can, and rely on Jesus Christ to do the rest for you. Because remember, you're in covenant with the Most High if you're a Christian. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And so that's my sermon of the day, Austin. You got another story?
No, that's a pretty good sermon. No, the last one I had on here was another article that came out about how important magnesium is, which, you know, we have the magnesium topical kit. We also have oral magnesium. I tell people all the time, I had a person ask me the other day, they were like, well, how do I know if I'm magnesium deficient, so I should take magnesium? I said, well, are you taking any type of magnesium or vitamin supplements? Well, no. I said, you're probably magnesium deficient.
That's pretty much. That's very
important. Yeah, and it even goes in this article, it says, magnesium deficiency is often misdiagnosed because it does not show up in blood tests. Only 1% of body's magnesium is stored in the blood. 1%. Most doctors and laboratories don't even include magnesium status in routine blood tests. Dr. Norman Shealy stated, every known illness is associated with some form of magnesium deficiency, and it's the most critical mineral required for electrical stability of every cell in the body. That's a very strong statement. Let me read that again. Magnesium is the most critical mineral required for electrical stability of every cell in the body. People are completely unaware of how enormous of a role magnesium plays in the body. That's why we have the topical magnesium kit on the front page of the website. It's that important. That's why we always promote it, because most people cannot absorb adequate amounts of oral magnesium. Not saying that it's not good to take, because we carry it and I use it, Dad uses it, but the topical magnesium really allows you to absorb a whole other level of magnesium that the stomach usually just will not allow. And I know you know even more about it than I do, Dad.
Well, magnesium is like gasoline in your gas tank. Your body uses it for over 250 biochemical reactions in the body. Calcium is stored in the body and recycled by the body. You need vastly huge amounts more, 5-10 times to 1 magnesium you do calcium. People don't realize that. The magnesium is burned in biochemical reactions. The calcium is stored and reused. The calcium is like the radiator in your truck or your car. It recycles the radiator fluid over and over and over again. That's like the calcium. The magnesium is like that gasoline you're putting into the gas tank. It has to be continually replenished. That's why I have a magnesium foot bath, and I use our bath salts, and I put my feet in it every single day for between 30 minutes to an hour. Now, when I first started doing it, I started doing a magnesium load to get my deficiencies taken care of. I was doing it 2 hours a day, and I do it while I'm reading or while I'm checking my emails or while I'm at my office or my desk working. And it makes it very simple, and it's very relaxing, too. I really thought I'd never be a person to be soaking my feet. I actually enjoy it now. And the craziest thing about it is I feel so much better, and I have so much more energy. And I used to couldn't sleep on my left side, Austin, because of that silly shoulder injury that I had years and years ago. But since I started using that, I can sleep on my left side just fine now. And so it's made a huge difference in my back, Sharon's back, my shoulder, Sharon's the thoracic vertebrae. And so I tell you what, I'm a huge, huge, huge proponent of magnesium. We also have magnesium deodorant. We have magnesium sports oil. We have magnesium ointment. All of this stuff is in the magnesium kit along with the bath salts that Austin was talking about at healthmasters.com. It's healthmasters.com. It's a phenomenal product. We love it. We use it every single day. And it's one of our best repeat sellers because once people start using it, they start feeling so good so fast. If you take magnesium foot bathing every day, use the other baths, the other stuff with it, take your iodine, your multiple vitamin, your D3, your vitamin C, your vitamin E, and a fish oil like a cod liver oil, you've got yourself a really, and a B complex, you've got yourself a really, really, really healthy program to stay healthy on. And that's pretty much our basic program that we have on the website, because what it does, it helps to rebuild the entire body. Instead of waiting before you die to try to get healthy, it helps to maintain that health so you can prolong this skin suit existence as long as you can. And the other thing, too, is it doesn't matter that we die. I just don't want to be sitting in some nursing home for 20 years waiting to die because I can't walk around or I've got all kinds of health problems. That's not my goal in life, is to do that. That's an awful way to go out. It's a horrible way to check out. And quite frankly, I have no interest in doing that. So I'd rather be productive until the day I check out. I know my father, he loved to play the accordion, and he was like 82 years old, and he was still completely mobile. He went to the nursing home to play the accordion for a bunch of his friends that were already in the nursing home, and he was there playing the accordion, having a blast, entertaining the crowd, and had a massive stroke and died and was dead like within an hour, and he was buried several days later. He died a good death, a clean death. He never had to go to the nursing home. He never had to suffer like that. And see, that's a good goal for all of us, to have a good, clean death that we can go until the very last day and be productive with our lives. Guys, I appreciate you so much. I love you guys a lot. I appreciate you listening to the show. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Remember, the show is brought to you by healthmasters.com. We appreciate your support. We thank you for getting your supplements through us. Austin, you got anything else you want to say?
No. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow, and have a great week.
And bless you guys. Bye-bye.